Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fence Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. The Dolphins win convincingly here today, 30-15 over the Houston Texans. And if you take a look historically, Paul, the biggest win in NFL, or the biggest halftime lead in NFL history, was 42 points, 49-7. I've got to look it up here, but it was 42 points. My screen is not loading, but the Dolphins were up 30-0 at halftime, and it seemed like they didn't quite know what to do with the lead at halftime.
Yeah,
they did that, which is a good problem to have.
We finally found a weakness in McDaniel's game. He doesn't know how to play when up by 30 points, or how to come out of halftime up 30. And if that's the biggest weakness in his game, I hope he gets a lot more opportunities to work on that as we move forward here, even though we're hitting the tougher part of our schedule.
Yep. And the big news coming out is Teron Armstead. He left the game with a pec injury that he had a couple of years ago with the Saints. But according to all reports, it's not a torn pectoral. We're going to find out more about that here in the upcoming days. But it looks like he is also going to miss some time. And the big story of the game is when he left the lineup, the Dolphins' pass protection certainly took a big hit.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm just happy because anybody that follows me on Twitter, it sounds like our prayers worked. I started the hashtag Pray for Teron's titty, and it sounds like it kicked in right away. So great job, guys. Great job.
I give you all the credit for that.
I'm telling you, we saved Teron's titty today.
Yeah, we did. And now it's been, when the Dolphins go to San Francisco next weekend, it's going to be 50 days since the Miami Dolphins have lost a football game. So it is a reason to celebrate here tonight. You know, and it wasn't complete. I mean, it wasn't a perfect game, and it definitely wasn't a perfect game in the second half because the Dolphins did not put up a point in the second half. But after they did not put up a point, or after they got to halftime, we were begging for Tua to leave the lineup because he got a bunch of very big sacks. And the Dolphins couldn't run the ball, so we didn't quite know what to do on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no, it's I think it was a little bit that. I think a little bit Teron Armstead leaving. And also, I think that the Texans, for the first time in a while, had the opportunity with the way Miami's run game was stalling, with the Jeff Wilson injury, with Raheem Mostert being out, to pull back and go, oh, we can just pin our ears back because they're still throwing the ball repeatedly. So the Texans defense pulled back and really just went after it, came after Tua, which I can't blame them for. And the protection didn't do a great job in those moments, but also it felt like Miami came out a little flat in the second half after holding the Texans to 16 yards of total offense in the first half or until late in the second quarter.
It was kind of weird that the Dolphins were up 30-0 and the Texans were pinning their ears back and trying to get to the quarterback because, I mean, it should be the opposite. The Dolphins should be trying to establish the run game, try to, bleed out the clock, but that wasn't the case. I think that Mike McDaniel wanted to make a point in this game when the Dolphins were up 30-0. And try to really make this like a 45-50 or 7 win. And that didn't happen, but what's the downfall of that? You end up winning the game 30-15, which the Dolphins did.
Yeah. And there were a lot of drops in this game that really kept the score as close as it was. We had several drops that ended drives in the first half, or ended up with us settling for a field goal. And I think I speak for all of Dolphins Nation, the one other drop that I want to talk about from today that, believe it or not, I actually was a little bit sad about was Laremy Tunsil almost caught a 2-point conversion. And if you weren't going to stand up and cheer for the man, you're being ridiculous, because that man belongs in the Ring of Honor with what that trade brought to this franchise.
Yeah, that would have absolutely brought a lot of cheers. Not for me, because I don't believe in style points. So, nah, not for me. But I understand what a lot of people and he got some cheers throughout the game. And Tua got a lot of MVP cheers.
As he should.
So now heading into week 13, Tua Tagovailoa, 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of 99.8 in this game. Could have been a little bit higher. I thought he did miss a couple of throws, but that's something that is for another day, quite frankly. And when you look at the 49ers next week, that's going to be an interesting matchup, because you've got Nick Bosa, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, going up against this Miami Dolphins offensive line. And at the offensive tackle spot, you're not going to have Teron Armstead in this game, as it appears.
Yep. And I just wanted to say this too. You brought up the 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. We will enter December before the Dolphins play another football game. Tua's last interception was in September. He will have gone the entire month of October and November without an interception. And in that time, he has thrown, since the last game he threw an interception in, 11 touchdowns.
And Tyreek Hill reclaims the NFL lead in receiving yards by 1 yard. And then he was pulled from the lineup. Great job there by Mike McDaniel. Jalen Waddle, 85 receiving yards here today. And so now he is, I believe, 20 yards shy of 1,000 yards for the second straight year. That's incredible. Jeff Wilson, not a good day on the ground, but I also noticed early on that the Texans were trying to overcompensate greatly for how bad they've been on run defense over the last few weeks. I mean, they had 7-8 guys in the box the entire game. And hey, if you want to try to do that and stop Jeff Wilson, that's fine. Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are going to go over the top against you.
Yeah, and Jeff Wilson really did another thing today too, because even though he wasn't hugely effective, it was a very noticeable difference between him and Myles Gaskin when Gaskin entered the game. Somebody that I know we didn't hate as much as some folks did, thought was okay and deserved a role as like the number 3 back, potentially a third down back for the Dolphins. There is a drastic drop off from Wilson to Myles Gaskin at this point in time. And it's unfortunate, because I like the guy. He seems like a good kid, but any type of stranglehold he's got on a roster spot is probably gone after this year.
And where was Savon Ahmed in the second half? I mean, you would think that he would get in there as well. And I would be remiss not to bring up that my prediction was Mike Gesicki, 8 catches for 110 yards. The stat line reads 0 catches for 0 yards.
So thankfully,
the Dolphins won this game, and I don't have to buy it back that badly. But, yeah.
Cater was, like, that close to getting what would have been a pick-six.
Like, yes, your prediction was Cater Kohu with the pick-six. And it was a 4-yard loss by, I think it was Brandon Cooks, and that should have been a pick-six.
Well, and then there was the one where I think Rowe and Kohu collided. That Kohu had a bead on it, and it was just like runway to the end zone at that point too. So there were multiple times today. And we did get a defensive touchdown. We did. And I feel a little bit bad about this, but I did fall right on another projection as well, which was Jalen Waddle would have a great game and end up short of his 1,000 yards today, which I'm upset to be right about.
Yeah, I mean, if this game had been closer, Jalen Waddle would have eclipsed that 1,000 yards.
Oh, and they tried to force it into him in the second half. You saw that, where it was like he was the receiver on the field with Skylar Thompson.
Early on, yeah. I mean, But as the game went on, they started to run the ball later in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I mean, but Jalen Waddle is going to get that here next week. As far as the Dolphins offensive line is concerned, I am concerned moving forward because Nick Bosa comes into town next week, or the Dolphins travel to San Francisco next week, a tough 49er squad. And if they can't block Nick Bosa, I think that has a domino effect on the rest of the Dolphins offense, as we saw here today against the Texans even.
Yeah, it's the difference between being effective and Tua getting murdered and bent in half and played like an accordion. And yeah, no, it's a huge difference, especially if it's going to have to be Greg Little and Brandon Schell instead of, you know, these tackle injuries are getting to me, man.
Any combination of the Dolphins at offensive tackle besides Armstead at left tackle and Brandon Schell at right tackle is not good enough, quite frankly. Austin Jackson is terrible. I'm sorry, he's bad. He is a bad football player. He was a bad football player at USC. He was a bad football player in 2020. He was a bad football player in 2021. He was terrible today. If you want to, if you want evidence of that, watch the play to Jalen Waddle early in the game, 25-yard catch. You will see Austin Jackson moved off his spot very easily in the first 2 seconds of the play. If you support Austin Jackson as an offensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins, understand this clearly. You support players that are bad football players. It's that simple.
I was keeping tabs and joking around with my dad after a few plays when I noticed there were a lot of plays where Austin Jackson just didn't block anybody. The one that was no more apparent actually that he didn't block anybody was Jeff Wilson's touchdown, where the only block he came anywhere close to making was he almost leveled Jeff Wilson. And luckily managed to spot him last second and just go ole as he watched him cross his face, which is a sin as a lineman, having to let your running back run between you and the guy you're maybe trying to block. I'm assuming.
Yep. Brandon Schell plays the position at an average level. That's it. And that's all I've ever expected from a right tackle. And he's terrible as a left tackle. Brandon Schell is bad as a left tackle. So I'm hoping that they can figure this out over the next couple of weeks. But
you know who was a beautiful blocker today? Alec Ingold.
Yes, he was. On that Jeff Wilson touchdown, he was fantastic. Loved it. There's a lot to celebrate here tonight. The Dolphins were up 30-0 at halftime. Austin Jackson is not one of them. But on the defensive side of the ball, I've got to say Jalen Phillips is a star. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who can get the backside pursuit and just run down. I mean, he can be 10 yards past the line of scrimmage and the quarterback takes off and he can run 20 yards downfield and nobody knows where he's coming from. I mean, he's fantastic. He and Bradley Chubb are a fantastic combination.
They are. I was really impressed with Chubb today. I was really impressed with so many on the defensive side of the ball. Kader Kohu, God, I keep saying his name, but love that man. And really the effect of Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, and yes, Raekwon Davis as well today, but Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer are just those unheralded guys that are studding out. And oh my God, Jerome Baker got sent on an A-gap blitz today for the first time I can recall seeing all season. And what did he do? He got a sack and forced a fumble. Holy crap. It's like, maybe that's something that works with him.
He had a sack. Landon Roberts had a sack. Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, and somebody else I'm forgetting here. But it's
Duke Riley got credited for a sack.
Duke Riley, yeah.
But that really wasn't his sack. He was the one that fell on him. Melvin Ingram really just sent him tripping and reeling, and Duke Riley and somebody else jumped on him as he fell.
Tyus Howard at the right tackle spot had his hands full all day. Melvin Ingram is somebody who should have a lot more sacks on the season. And he pushes the pocket, and he allows other players to get the sack. And that's what you saw with Duke Riley, with Jerome Baker, and with Alandon Roberts, each getting a sack on the day. So fantastic work by the defense. And it seemed like this was kind of a preseason game, you know, after the first half. I mean, when you're up 30-0 and you don't have much to, you know, the Texans scored 15 points in the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter, but you know
who was around the ball a lot early in this game? And I'm going to admit it. There are very few times where I say this, but I had to go, who the hell is that?
I know who you're going to say. Justin Zimmer.
Yeah. I missed the Dolphins bringing him in like literally 4 days ago. He seemed to be like, he didn't record a stat today, but he sure seemed to be around the ball a lot.
Yes, he was. I mean, because the Browns poached Ben Stilley off of the practice squad.
Yep.
And, you know, I was kind of disappointed in that a little bit, you know, kind of on a low key level, but that, you know, number 96, I was like, man, this guy is always around the ball.
Built like Ram Man from the old He-Man cartoons.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, Christ.
But he pushed the pocket all day. I mean, really, like, wow, who the heck is that guy? On the back end of the defense, Xavien Howard looked much, much healthier today.
Yeah, those he actually looked like Xavien Howard again.
Yes, he did. And it's not just the defensive touchdown, which I'm happy he got. He easily could have had two more interceptions. And he was shadowing Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, you did not hear anything of today. And Nico Collins, you know, I've always felt that Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins are a good 1-2 combo. Not a great one, but a pretty good one. Didn't hear anything from him today. That's why Kyle Allen had 49 yards passing at halftime.
Yeah, no, it looks like Xavien Howard has a set of hands on him again. Did you see, and I know it was out of bounds, but there was a pass in the end zone. I believe it was to Nico Collins. And Xavien Howard just reached out and snared it one-handed, even though he came down out of bounds with it. There was a lot to like in this game, and it really started with the way the secondary played today. And it was funny, but just the Dolphins seemed to smell blood in the water as the second half wore on the defensive side of the ball especially, and were just – all over the place, dialing up the blitz. And I don't know if you noticed this or a lot of folks did, but when Miami came out in the second half, they seemed to get away from the blitz a lot. And this is a defense that's built around blitzing. This is a defensive personnel group that is built around blitzing. And they're a defense that specializes in that. So just like when you heard Mike McDaniel talk about the fact that he looks for something a little different in running backs than what is typical around the league. The problem is if you try to take a guy that's not typical and use him like a typical back, you're not going to have an effective running back in a lot of ways. The same thing with a defense that's built around the blitz. If you get away from the blitz, start providing cushion, stop jamming guys up a little bit, stop playing them as tight, stop rushing the way that you're designed to rush. It's going to drastically affect your defense when you just play normal defense. And we saw that in the second half when they got away from it, when they started dialing up just a few basic blitzes as the second half wore on, suddenly that defense looked lights out again. And that's something that I hope that the analytical Mike McDaniel goes back, looks at, and says, all right, we might dial back our blitz package a little bit, but we're not going to play off as far. We're not going to play a game that's not our game. You can screw yourself by not playing your game, especially in a game like football, and instead playing, you know, just some really anything different than what your game is. Like, and for this Dolphins team, this defensive identity, they got away from it this one.
You brought up a couple of points there that, and I agree with a lot of what you said there, because I think the reason the Dolphins got Bradley Chubb is four games like this, mm-hmm. where you can have Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb on the outside and you don't have to bring all those players, but you also have the option to bring those guys and on the, so you can get to the quarterback with four, but you can also send five or six. And we saw that as the game progressed, because the Texans were starting to, you know, make or get first downs, get a lot more yards. The Dolphins were up 30-0 at halftime. And then we blink our eyes and it's 30-15 Dolphins at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And then at that point, the Dolphins started blitzing a lot more. And it begs the question, why aren't they doing that earlier in games?
Well, and they were in the first half. They were blitzing a decent amount in the first half. Maybe it wasn't, you know, as dialed up as some people expect, but they were bringing guys in that first half. It's a defense that's built on deception, the blitz, and coverage. Simple as that. It's built on guys that can stay with their dude and being able to deceive the offense, give looks that aren't what they actually are, and send people from unexpected places and drop people in unexpected places and really confuse coverages. There's a reason. It's funny. I was talking to my dad in the first half, and Kyle Allen walked up to the line and basically points to 52 is the mic, right? And he's like, isn't the middle linebacker usually, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but here's the thing. All their protections are based off of who the quarterback comes up and identifies as the mic on a given play. So it's, if you've got a defense that is built on a little bit of deception there, you can really screw up the offense's blocking schemes by just shifting things a little bit slightly. You look at that blitz that they sent Melvin Ingram on, where he came up and flew up the middle from the edge. And it's something that if Miami gets away from and goes to playing a vanilla defense that's got a lot of cushion to it, that's not in the wheelhouse of this player base.
See, I don't think the Dolphins play a vanilla defense. I think they have a lot of twists and stunts, and they don't blitz as much as they should. Somebody in chat just brought up, Toby, thank you, that Justin Zimmer actually went to Ferris State.
Yep.
The same college as Zach Sealer. Are you kidding me?
Is, so there two any, Ferris is,
there any, is there any doubt this guy is going to be a Dolphin for the next 2 years?
I mean, we got two Ferris Staters, a guy from the Texas A&M School of Commerce playing on a defense for our defensive coordinator, who is from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. And, you know, for probably the most unorthodox coach in the NFL. I love it.
I'm not sure if any Ferris State players have been drafted over the last 20 years. Can somebody look that up? Grandizer, can you look that up here?
I was saying Grandy probably knows.
No, Zach Sealer was a 7th-round pick. I know that. But anyway, let's get to our grades, Paul. Tua on the day, 299 yards passing, quarterback rating of almost 100. I thought he missed a couple of passes, though. I mean, that pass to Mike Gesicki in the end zone, I don't know what was going on. It looked like he was trying to throw the ball into triple coverage, and I've rewatched the play several times. I don't know what he was looking at there. But I mean, his ability to get the ball out of his hands is what makes him special right now. So I'm going to go A minus for Tua in the quarterback spot.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, I'd love to give him a three-letter grade here. You heard the Dolphins fans chanting it around the stadium. But, I mean, look, he had a couple of missed throws today. But I feel like we're nitpicking with that. He also had a bunch of critical drops from receivers that hit them in the hands. So every quarterback's going to miss some throws. He made some good decisions today and really made some plays happen. He had a beautiful play, I think it was in the first quarter, where he managed to sneak out through the defense to the left sideline. And it looked like he was going to take off with the ball, and he saw somebody at the last second and just fired it over. The Durham Smythe ad lib touchdown was another thing of beauty from both him and Smythe. And there's a lot of moments with Tua with that. You see that confidence and swagger back with him, and it's fun to watch. Here we are, more than two months removed from his last interception. He's throwing touchdowns and fits and bunches. He almost had 300 yards and he barely played into the third quarter.
And what I loved about it too is that Tua was fighting with Mike McDaniel and the trainers on the sidelines to stay in the game.
He was helping call plays. He was literally standing next to McDaniel suggesting plays.
It didn't really help Skylar Thompson, who went 1 for 5 for 6 yards, but you know, it's nitpicking. Running back, my role. If the running back position does not get over 3 yards to carry, I can't give him above a B. So, there wasn't a lot of room for Jeff Wilson to run. On the day, 13 carries, 39 yards. Miles Gaskin, 6 for 17 when he was trying to run out the clock. Not a lot of room, but also Jeff Wilson didn't break a lot of tackles today, so it was by far his most unimpressive day. I'm still hopeful for the guy, and I think he provides a better 1-2 combo with Raheem Mostert when Mostert is healthy enough to get back in the lineup. But I'm going to go C-plus for the running backs.
I'm going to go with a solid C. I mean, Jeff Wilson got in the end zone, but in a game that was a blowout, it didn't feel like Miami could get the running game going. And I don't put all that on the offensive line. There were a couple of carries early on where it felt like Wilson took the wrong cut. Like I said before, Miles Gaskin, while I did like him coming into this year, even in a day where Wilson only had 13 carries for 39 yards, you could see a tangible, visible difference in Jeff Wilson carrying the ball from Miles Gaskin. And that speaks volumes to me of what I can expect from Miles Gaskin. This was a very, really below average game. The touchdown brings it up to a C, and some of the blame on the offensive lineman keeps it at that C. But
yeah, I was hoping Gaskin was going to get in the second half and really explode and break a lot of tackles. I didn't see that from him either. Alec Ingold is a monster. I mean, his ability to move around just across the formation is very impressive. You saw that on the short touchdown run from Jeff Wilson after the Van Ginkel interception. Wide receiver and tight end, Paul, I'm going to throw it back to you.
again, before Tua left the game, he hit 9 different receivers in this one. Tyreek made some great plays happen. Jalen Waddle, despite several drops, had a really good game, closing in on 1,000 yards here. I liked what I saw from Craycraft in this one. Sherfield had a drop or two early. Gesicki was a non-factor, but Durham Smythe was a big one in this one, even though he only had 1 catch for 4 yards and a touchdown. I saw him make some very critical blocks, even though he let up a sack that doesn't get attributed to the offensive line, in which Tua got blasted. I'm going to go with a B-plus for the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they separated very well the entire day. I'm going to match you on the B-plus. Tyreek Hill, 6 for 85, also another rush for 5 yards from Hill. Waddle, you know, had, I don't even know if we can categorize them as drops. You know, he had 2 that would have been difficult to catch. 1 was high across the middle, and another one that, yeah, probably should have caught. But
the other one was a straight up drop. I know which one you're talking about. It literally closed his hands too soon, and it hit off this part of his hands.
Yeah, the one on the first quarter on first 20. Yeah, I agree on that one. River Craycraft, it's great to see him get involved here. I mean, he and Trent Sherfield, we ask ourselves, why is Eric Ezekama not on the field more? Well, we saw that here today.
Yeah, I'm gonna mention
the B-plus.
Real quick, before we lose it, so I can read it to you. So Grandy did find the answer. 4 years ago, former defensive tackle Zach Sealer became Ferris State's first ever NFL draft choice when he was picked in the 7th round as the 238th overall selection by the Ravens via Ferris State's official football website.
And you're the best, Grandy. Appreciate that. And Justin Zimmer, we're rooting for you as well. Offensive line, obviously the big story is Teron Armstead. And, I mean, just a flawless game until he gets knocked out of it with a pectoral issue. You know, it's he had a pec issue a couple of years ago with the Saints. But it's expected to keep him out for at least a couple of weeks here now. And it's up to Greg Little, and it's up to Austin Jackson, and it's up to Brandon Shell to take that next step up. But after he left the game, it was very clear that the Dolphins were not the same team offensively. On the interior of the offensive line, Connor Williams and Robert Hunt have something going on. Also Robert Jones, can't remember what play it was, but he gave up a big sack. Actually, it was the one where Tua got bent back at the end of the first half. So when you categorize all of that, it's hard to put a finger on it. So I'm just going to go with a C+, because the Dolphins did not create enough running lanes. And Armstead left the game, and when he left the game, it got ugly at the offensive tackle spot.
I'm going to actually come in below you on this. I'm going to go with a C-. They couldn't open running lanes today. They let up 5 sacks in this one, and granted, part of it was the fact that Teron Armstead left. There was a series, I think it was 3 plays in a row, that Tua got sacked in the third quarter. There was no unit that came out flatter in the second half than the offensive line. And, you know, you let Mario Addison get his first sack of the year in this one. Malik Collins, who came into the game with a half a sack, gets 2 today. Like, this team rises and falls based on Tua being in the lineup. And these guys, good, bad, or indifferent, injuries or no, were letting Tua get belted today after a certain point in the second quarter. And on top of that, you know, we talked about the fact that Austin Jackson didn't appear to block anybody today. Like, the best things he did were happen to stay in somebody's way a little long while he got run over, if he touched somebody on a given play. and I'm not counting him touching the running back as he cuts across his face between him and the blocker. Like,
yeah, you're supposed to be
athletic and fast. That's part of the selling point with Austin Jackson, is he's athletic. He's a guy that's going to get there. And if you're not getting there and you're not blocking, there's a problem.
Yeah, I'm starting to think he's never going to get there. And I think your evaluation is exactly on the mark there with the offensive tackle and guard spot. Defensive side of the ball. Loved everything I saw in the first half, and everything in the second half I have to categorize as dump offs. I mean, 49 yards passing from Kyle Allen in the first half. And then in the second half, he completed at one point 14 passes in a row, which is fine if you're challenging to win the game, but they weren't. It was 30-15 midway through the fourth quarter. So, but as far as the front seven is concerned and looking at the grades, let's go with the defensive line. Van Ginkle screws us all up here. So let's go with the front seven.
Dude, I'm going to make it easy for you. There wasn't a unit on the defense I didn't like today, other than when they went into that stupid prevent garbage in the second half, which really wasn't on them. I'm going to give the entire defense an A plus here.
So help me out here. Front seven, A plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
About 5 sacks in this game. Everybody got in on the party. They pull freaking God, I just blanked on his name. From Justin Zimmer from a practice squad, and he comes in and is affecting plays. Zach Sealer was everywhere. Christian Wilkins was everywhere. Raekwon Davis was everywhere. Jalen Phillips was everywhere and more. Chubb was everywhere. Jerome Baker made some great plays today. Landon Roberts made some plays today. Freaking Andrew Van Ginkle has an interception.
Ginkle with his first career interception.
Which is crazy because he's got more touchdowns than interceptions at this point.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with an A for the front seven, because you know my rule, and it has to be historic for that to happen. But an A for the front seven.
16 yards of total offense with 2 minutes left in the first half is historic enough for me.
All right, A plus.
Thank you.
And everything else, we're dump off passes. I mean, Damian Pierce over the last 2 games for the Texans. I feel bad for the kid. 15 carries for 16 yards after a very good rookie season, and a player that we talked about repeatedly in the pre-draft process at the running back spot too. Shame.
You can't be the team's only weapon at running back unless you're Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's true. I have no respect for running backs, really. Secondary, Xavien Howard gets in the end zone after Jordan Akins gets the ball stripped from Eric Rowe. Good for Eric Rowe. I mean, somebody that's just been sitting in the background. He gets that punch on Jordan Akins that takes the game from 20-0 to 27-0 in a complete blowout. Veron McKinley gets an interception when Bradley Chubb pushes Howard, the right tackle, right back to the quarterback. So fantastic game. And Kader Kohu should have had a pick six, but did not.
Veron McKinley gets his first career interception too.
Yes, he did. So I'm going to go with an A for the defensive backs as well.
So special teams.
How about Jason Sanders?
He did all right today. He must have eaten his Wheaties over the break. He needed that week off.
He did better
off,
than all right.
He, we're going with all right until I see this consistently. But that's a huge move up from 2 weeks ago when I was ready to move on.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I.
But how about Thomas Morstead?
Morstead, six. Yeah. I mean, he six didn't take an.
He almost put up as many yards as Tua today.
He didn't take a nap today. I mean, no. That's one thing. But one thing that's crazy, though, too, the Dolphins for almost – if you look back to the Bears game to the second quarter of this game, almost six full quarters where the Dolphins did not punt the football. That's crazy. I mean – yeah, that's nuts. And when Morstead did punt the football, he did a good job. I wish he would have, you know, punted the ball. I wish he would have gotten the Dolphins back in, you know, the 5 to 10 yard range, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. And we gave up one decent return today. On top of that, Cedric Wilson, I hate seeing him return kicks. I hate or punts. I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it.
What's that?
What's that?
What's that?
Oh,
I'm curious because I don't disagree with you on that. I'm curious why you say that. Is he not explosive enough, or
he's are not you fearful explosive that enough? And I don't feel like he makes great decisions. I didn't like the way he went after that ball that was bouncing today. And granted, it might have rolled down, but it was too dangerous of a play in a critical moment early in the game. I think he tiptoed on another return inexplicably. There's a lot of reasons I just don't like him returning punts. And I think that's an area that I'd like to see Miami focus on this offseason, as well as enriching the offensive line.
I think you miss Jakeem Grant a little
bit. I do.
I
at least it was too. A threat of flipping the field.
I kind of do too. I really do. Because I didn't see anything that Cedric Wilson did wrong today. He just looks tall and lanky as a punt returner. I think he's the best punt returner on this team too, quite honestly. So
no,
he's not.
Tyreek Hill is, but I don't want to risk him there.
Yeah, right. I mean, Hill and Waddle are better, but
right.
As far as a specialty player, I would put Cedric Wilson back there. I don't want Javon Holland back there because he's the last line of your defense. You know.
Yeah. No. It's. I mean, I'm about ready to start looking at CFL returners. I'm about ready to start looking at Arena League returners to bring in somebody that's truly a return specialist. Because he ain't it. And there are those moments where you can flip the momentum of a game as a punt returner. And I hope to God we never have to rely on that moment.
Who is that guy that you liked in the offseason?
God, I'm blanking on the name right now.
Deadman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Devontae Deadman.
Yeah, that's right.
I feel like he didn't get a shot because of the depth at the receiver position, but honestly, I wouldn't mind looking around to see if he's still available. And I didn't do my research on that before the show.
But, well, overall, I mean, Cedric Wilson, got more involved in the offense today than he has all year, which is good. He's returning punts. He's starting to, I'm not going to say, you know, get a handle on, you know, being a player that makes $7 million a year, but I'm glad he's starting to make a little bit of an impact. Hopefully that accelerates as the season goes on. So Paul, who's your player of the game? Who's your Coke Bus player of the game?
My player of the game today is going to be Jalen Phillips. For a defense that got an A+ across the board for me, he still stood out taller than anybody else on that defensive side of the ball. And that says a lot in a game that saw the return of Xavier Howard, that saw the impact that Bradley Chubb can make, that saw the impact that so many players can make on this defense. And Jalen Phillips stood tall today, and it was a beautiful thing to see. As far as my Coke Bus player of the game, as bad as Austin Jackson was inexplicably not blocking people, I'm actually going to throw it a little bit unfairly at Brandon Schell over on the left tackle spot. I feel like he's definitely out of position at left tackle. I liked him better when he moved back over to right tackle later in the game when Greg Little came out, when Austin Jackson left with an injury. But he single-handedly let up some drive-killing moments. And so I got to throw Schell on the Coke Bus here, even though I hope he's starting at right tackle next week.
Yeah, I think both of your players are very well said. My Coke Bus player is going to be Austin Jackson for the reasons you described. I think his setup and pass protection is embarrassing. And Brandon Schell at left tackle is an F, but at right tackle, he's a B minus. And he needs to get back at that right tackle spot to be competitive in this environment. My player of the game, I'm going to go a little bit of a different route, and I'm going to say Trent Sherfield. And here's why. This is a player that not only contributes on special teams repeatedly, but when the Dolphins were up 3-0 in this game, they went for it on fourth down, and he made an incredible catch to keep the drive going. And then the Dolphins walked into the end zone the next play. That was the Durham Smythe touchdown catch that put the Dolphins up 10-0. And then the game was over. So he is somebody that I think is repeatedly making key plays in these types of games. So Trent Sherfield gets my game ball here.
I like that. Did you do your Coke Bus?
My Coke Bus is Austin Jackson.
Okay. We already kind of beat those reasons to death. And I just want to comment something about Austin Jackson since you mentioned him. Eric in chat, I know we don't always agree on opinions and things like that, but basically, Eric said that he feels like the criticism is undeserved of Austin Jackson. We're just using him as a whipping boy. I'm sorry.
Austin Jackson sucks.
I got this one real quick though. First, it's he looked like a child standing on a traffic line in the middle of the highway, watching the cars go by him, and it's no good. That's not what you need in an offensive tackle, let alone a first round offensive tackle. He just didn't block anybody at times today and got run over the rest of the times. There wasn't a moment where I went, that's our guy. And I know he was returning from injury, but I don't care. I really don't. You still have a job to do. Do it.
Brandon Schell at right tackle, Teron Armstead at left tackle. Anybody that advocates for Austin Jackson as a good football player, come on now. Come on. Stop it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. He's not good. He's never been good. He's always been somebody who has been a good guy. You know, he donated his body part to his sister. I mean, he's a great human being. I want him to be a great football player, but he's never been that. Brandon Schell, you can scrape off the street and put him at the right tackle spot. That's all I care about. I want good football players, not Austin Jackson.
Yeah, and one thing that just occurred to me too, just speaking in terms of punt returner, I won't spend a lot of time on this. The guy that I really wanted this offseason to come in and return kicks and punts, Braxton Berrios. He would have been fantastic to add to this repertoire of ridiculousness we have talent-wise.
I was fully on board with that as well. That's going to do it for our breakdown of the Dolphins' dominant performance here over the Houston Texans, 30-15. You can follow Paul and I on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets, as well as the FanSided Network and FinFanatic.com. I'm Brian Cat NFL. Paul is Fanatic _pick. And if it's not on the right side, and it's not on the left side, it is on the fin side.